Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we just love having a great day today. I hope you've been outside and enjoying some of this weather. You know, in northeastern Ohio, these are the kind of days that you really live for, because usually it's either too cold or it's too wet or it's too humid or it's too hot, too many bugs or something. And we're in that kind of time of the year right now where you can get some really nice days weather-wise, and the mosquitoes and things are not out as much yet. So it's kind of enjoyable. And we were joking after church about the not being as many bugs and what to do when the mosquitoes start coming around. I said, that's okay. I just stand near my wife because they go after her. They leave me alone and they go after her by preference. So she's my way of avoiding the mosquitoes. But and so we had a discussion. We were talking about, you know, it is interesting though that some people do tend to attract mosquitoes more than others, or maybe the flip side of that is some people tend to repel mosquitoes better than others. And who knows, maybe something with your blood chemistry, although it has been shown that if you eat a lot of onions and garlic, you will tend to repel mosquitoes. Of course, the flip side of that is you might repel other people as well. But that's another thing, a whole other thing. But anyway, let's get back to our program here tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, as I said. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me and more about the radio program here. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can find out more there and at livewithpastoral.com. You can also read some articles and things that I have there. I've got another article that I got to get posted. I was just looking here. My latest article on there is The Death of Shame, but I've got a new article getting ready to put up. I'll get it up here in the next day or so, called Behold the Fig Tree. And I just got that one together and put out our new church letter, newsletter, and so that's in that. I try to do about one a month for our church newsletter, so that'll be up soon. But you can listen to past programs as well. We are, it looks like, up through this past Sunday on there, and you can listen to those. That's both hours, our 11 o'clock hour and our midnight, or 10 o'clock hour. You can set both of those on there. And we also have our Friday programs on there every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And of course, if you tune in on Friday afternoon, let me encourage you to tune in actually at 1 o'clock and catch Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. He is on at 1 o'clock until 1:30. Then I'm on for a half hour. And then at 2 o'clock, stay tuned, and you have Pastor Andrew Snacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. And always a blessing to listen to him. He's on at 2 o'clock. And so I believe it was Pastor Lutz that coined the term the Baptist trifecta. And so I encourage you to check out those programs as well as ours on Friday afternoons. And I just go looking in the window there and I see a black window. I see myself waving at myself. But we've got a guest that's calling in to be with us here for a little bit in the beginning as well. I'll get to him in just a moment. But again, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will get to our guest here. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless, use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you in all things for the opportunity we have to serve you. Thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. Bless, we pray, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have been watching the news there, and there's just an overload of things happening between the near riots on our campuses that spread this past week even to Ohio State, and just the different things going on over in the Middle East. And in addition to all of that, the weather still has its complications, and you may have noticed the severe storms that were going across the upper Midwest and Nebraska in particular, very hard hit recently with a breakout of tornadoes. And of course, when we have things like this happening, some kind of natural disaster or similar sort of happening here in the area, or I should say in the United States, I'm always joined by my good friend, Pastor Alan Jenkins, the head of Nehemiah's Network here in the Cleveland area. And they go all over the country trying to help people out recovering from disasters and taking the Word of God with them. And Pastor Alan Jenkins, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Brother Al. It's good to be with you again.
Well, and again, as I say all the time, you know, I enjoy having you on, but I hate to have you on because it usually means there's something happening somewhere.
I was just thinking the only time I'm on is when there's a problem.
Right. But, you know, this is the time we think about this. And it's a time that people are, when they hear about these things, they want to be able to, do something. And we want people, obviously, to pray. That's very important, that people pray for what's going on. But we also need to put feet to our prayers, don't we, and to do something. And that's what Nehemiah's Network's all about, isn't it?
Amen. Sure is. The earth is groaning.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think it's those pains, like the labor pains, you know, getting closer and faster and more intense. Something's about to happen.
Yeah.
So
they had a lot of tornado activity in the Nebraska, Iowa area. And the last count that I had in that area was 86. Tornadoes touchdown, and that sounds like a lot, but what happened was is most of these tornadoes didn't stay on the ground and move.
Mm-hmm.
They just came down and did the damage and then went back up.
Well, and that's good, because we've had some other ones where you've been on. I'm thinking of a few years ago when you were down in what was it Missouri, I think it was, where you severe tornadoes that stayed on the ground for a lengthy period of time.
Yeah, that was Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah,
storm.
You know, and you know, it's,
so
go ahead.
You know, there were those storms, and then last night, Oklahoma got hit real bad. And from what I understand, we have a couple guys that are going to be checking out that area tomorrow. But there were four deaths in Oklahoma. And one was a 14-month-old child, which is always sad. But
right.
Was also a lot of devastation. And, you know, we're not out of the woods yet.
No, and neither is Ohio out of the woods. I mean, it wasn't just but a few days ago out toward, I believe it was Windham, they had a bit of damage. Tornado going through there and even knocked over some trucks on the turnpike. And Ohio is kind of at the, I guess you could say, at the northeastern end of Tornado Alley.
Yeah. It's becoming more and more like that, it seems like, lately.
Yeah, it does. And I understand part of the idea with some of these storms and everything, more people living in more areas, more targets. But other than that, it does seem that we're getting more and more storms, not just more people in more areas, but actually more and more of these storms. And, you know, it's like God's trying to tell us something, isn't it?
Amen. We need to wake up and hear what he's saying to us.
Yeah, and we look at what's happening in Israel and the attack by Iran recently and the situation that's going on there in Gaza. And it just on their college campuses with the people calling not just to protest against Israel now, but actually calling for the death of people who support Israel. I'm going to be talking about that later in the program, including a clip of one of the college students at Columbia saying that people who believe that Israel, that there should be a Jewish nation there, which is the definition of a Zionist, that we don't deserve to live. And it's just so much going on, but we have to focus and do what we can. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and you know, I used to wonder how in the world our nation could ever get to the point to where everybody would turn their back on Israel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered how that would happen, but we're watching it right before our very eyes.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the sad thing, this is coming into our churches. And that's it's really sad. We had to deal with that as small a church as we are. We had to deal with that in our church. And, you know, it's sad. The demonic, you know, satanic deception that even Christians are falling prey to now.
Yep.
So.
Yep, I want to stay on the Lord's side.
Amen. And I want to be where God said that he would bless rather than curse.
Amen.
So I'll be talking about that a little more later on the program as well.
Promised that in Genesis, you want a blessing, be a blessing.
That's right. Absolutely.
Bless his people.
And, you know, God takes a dim view of those that come against the apple of his eye. So, so we'll be talking about that, as I said, a little later on in the program, a little bit more. But, again, for our listeners that may not be as familiar with Nehemiah's Network, I know some of our listeners are, but if you could just outline what Nehemiah's Network is again, I appreciate that.
Nehemiah's Network is a ministry in many different areas. We do missionaries, we work, we help missionaries with supplies. We're continually sending items to the Ukraine right now during that war.
Mm-hmm.
We also help with new church starts. Brother Suglio, I'm sure you know him. I was just given mm-hmm. some chairs. I was talking to him tonight, and he's going to take those chairs for his new work there in Willoughby.
Mm-hmm.
And we primarily now have gravitated to the disaster relief aspect of the ministry. And we look at an area that's been hit. We make contact with a church. We try to contact independent Baptist churches. We don't just help independent Baptist people, but we help everyone. But we try to work with an independent Baptist group so that we can go on property and share the gospel, pass out John and Romans, pray with the people. And we take items there, and we help those who have lost everything. I was at a missions conference this week, and I was telling the people tonight, I just asked for a raise of hands, everybody over 65. And I said, could you imagine losing everything you had and having to start all over again?
Mm.
And I can't imagine that, and I don't want to imagine it. But these people are feeling, it's hard to tell what they're feeling. Many of them have lost their dream houses and things that, possessions that they've had for many years. And we just want to go and be a little bit of help to them, give them the most important thing, the gospel, and along with that, give them food and items for toiletries and cleaning supplies and paper products and so forth. So that's, excuse me, I've been fighting a head cold all week, mm-hmm. but that's pretty much what we do. We have a warehouse on the west side of Cleveland. We store the items there, and we try to be ready when a disaster hits so that we can take off with a load and get it to them as quickly as possible.
And I know we've talked recently, but where's the last place that Nehemiah's Network reached out to with some of this?
Last place we reached out to was Logan County, Bell Fountain, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
There was a disaster there, and we contacted a church, Solid Rock Baptist Church there, and we were able to go in there and get supplies to them, and they reached out to the community. I don't think I told you this, but last year,
mm-hmm.
you might recall, we went to Port Charlotte, Florida.
Right.
That hurricane that was down there. And the last report I just heard the other day from that church, it's Tri-City Baptist Church that we worked with, they've had over 50 new people since they helped the people in that community.
Wow.
Come to their church. And that's been a real blessing.
Yeah, that just seems like such a tremendous opportunity when you're sharing the love of Christ to people in a time of need. And you know, not just saying, oh, here's a gospel tract, you know, you need the Lord, pray, and everything will be okay. You're actually ministering to the physical needs that these people have. And sometimes, I'm sure, emotional needs and things where you're just somebody there to be a help and to say somebody's here, you know, cares about you. And then at the same time, getting that opportunity to share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. It's just a tremendous ministry.
It's a devastating time, and it's a time where many of them are open. You know, some of them are angry at God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get through all that and try to just let them know that they're loved, and you know, hopefully at some point they'll realize that God is what they need in their lives.
Absolutely.
And the possessions can always be replaced. And but, you know, a life, you know, once it's lived and gone, the only thing that's going to matter is what they did with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And,
amen.
You know, we need to get the gospel to these individuals. And so much, we have so much opportunity around this world to share Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been in a missions conference and got to hear from many different missionaries what's happening around the world. And I know that you hear a lot. And it's comforting to know that his work still goes on.
Amen. And, you know, it's another thing that's good about that is a lot of times we kind of focus on where we're at. We see what's happening around us, and we forget the things that are happening in regards to churches around the world, the struggles that they're going through, and many times similar struggles that we're going through, and other cases radically different, but we don't really understand it unless we have some of these missionaries coming through or in some way, like through Nehemiah's network, where we're put in touch or made aware of the suffering that other Christians have, and we begin to see things that we can do to make a difference, to be a blessing, and to better pray for believers elsewhere. Tremendous ministry. If somebody's listening right now and they want to be a help and they want to be a blessing and perhaps supply some things to help out with the ministry there, what's the best thing that they can do?
Best thing that they can do is either contact me. My cell is 440-781-0209. You could drop supplies off at 4488 West 160th. That's in Cleveland, Ohio, 44135. Or you can drop it off at the Columbia Road Baptist Church, our sending church, 4116 Columbia Road, North Olmsted, Ohio. We also have a new website since I have talked to you. I don't think I had shared that with you.
You were just getting it. It was brand new, and it was just coming online.
NehemiahsNetwork.com. You can go on there, and there's a place where you can give financially, or you can send me an email, ajenkins0209@gmail.com.
Well, amen to that. And I encourage people, check that out at NehemiahsNetwork.com, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing this, and I was going to mention too, there is a NehemiahsNetwork.org, which is a little more for missionaries and things like that. If somebody should happen to go there, just re-enter it with the NehemiahsNetwork.com, and that'll get you right there. In fact, I just called it up right now, and I'm looking at the website right now, and it's got the information that's there. And you've got a button right there that says disaster relief, and then right next to it, one that says donate. And I just clicked on it. If somebody wants to give a financial donation to help you out, you've got it set up right there, don't you?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They
will make sure that purpose.
Absolutely. And of course, this is all through the ministry of Columbia Road Baptist Church, isn't it?
Right.
So they can be sure there's accountability and that there's a church that's involved here. And it's I think that's the way it should be. I think ministries, whenever possible, should be under the headship of a church. And
everything go back to the local
exactly
church.
Exactly. And in fact, it was while you were the pastor of the Columbia Road Baptist Church that you founded Nehemiah's Network, isn't it?
Right.
I have to ask you this. I have to ask you this because we had, I think you know, missionary Michael Drust. And he was with us last Sunday, and we were talking afterwards. I said, Brother Drust, when you first started out 20-some years ago, did you ever think your ministry was going to go in the directions that it's gone today? And he's like, no, I mean, the doors that have opened and things, and we talked about that. And I have to ask you the same question. When you first started Nehemiah's Network there at the Columbia Road Baptist Church, did you ever imagine that it would progress into what you're doing today?
No, I surely didn't.
It's been an adventure, hasn't it?
Yep. It's amazing what God has done in just a few short years.
Absolutely. And I remember when you first got your warehouse there on the west side of Cleveland, went from storing it in your garage and in other people's garages to
a hangar at the airport.
Yeah. God blessed you with a tremendous warehouse.
Amen.
And
14,000 square feet.
Plenty of room. And so in addition to financial donations, there's also other things that people can donate as well, isn't there?
Right. Paper products, canned goods, dry foods, cleaning supplies, toiletries, all these things will be very helpful to the people.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about the disaster relief part of this, but I actually wanted to kind of circle back to something that you mentioned earlier, where you supplied some chairs to a church that's starting out in Wycliffe. And this is an interesting part of the ministry as well. I know that was kind of the emphasis in the beginning, and now you're doing more with the disaster relief, but people might be wondering about that too. How did you happen to have chairs that you could give to help this church out?
Well, another church had replaced their chairs.
Mm-hmm.
These are in really good condition, and we brought them to our warehouse. I knew that Brother Suglio had just started the church, and so I called him and asked him if he might need them. Mm-hmm. He said yes, that he would. Matter of fact, I talked to him tonight,
mm-hmm.
and in just a week or so, we're going to get them over to his place, and that way it can save this new church some money,
right?
And help them because they're the Lord's blessing over there,
right?
They're growing, so
yeah, and. You know, the thing I find that's interesting with that, because it's like you said, a lot of times a church will be in a position where they have some items, some furniture, or it could just be hymnals or perhaps even a pulpit or something. They've bought something new or they've changed something out. And rather than just throw them out, toss them into the landfill, you're able to come in and repurpose those to help out a church that's you know, really, really can benefit from them. I know our church early on had gotten some things, and then when we had left the building that we were in at the time, we'd actually been in a position to donate some things as well. And so we've been on both sides of that, the giving and receiving. And it is a blessing to be able to see stuff be repurposed for the Lord's work.
And we just had a church in Mansfield about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor... I went in, and it was a Methodist church, and they were going to change it over to a independent Baptist church. And one of the first things they wanted to do was to get rid of the old hymnals.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking for some King James scripture hymnals. And we happened to have about 80 at that time, and that was just perfect.
No, that's kind of exciting when you see that because, you know, think about it. God's people often sacrificially, you know, provided those materials in their churches. And, to save them from going into the landfill and being repurposed to help out another church, I think is a real blessing. And let me tie this back to the disaster relief, because I know in some of the cases, you've actually gone in where churches have been damaged, and you've been able to help that church, in addition to people in the area, you've been able to help that church get back on its feet, haven't you?
Right. Yeah, we were also work with Operation Renewed Hope,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot of work teams that will go in and they'll clean out the debris and they'll do drywall work and everything and they put tarps on the roof and maybe get a new roof on it, to protect the rest of the building.
Right. Right. So there's a lot of opportunities through Nehemiah's network, not just merely the disaster relief, but so many other efforts where people get involved and they can pray. And where's that information again? If somebody wants to give or find out more about the ministry, what should they do?
NehemiahsNetwork.com. You can go on there and there's a section where you can give, or you can mail it to 4488 West 160th, Cleveland, Ohio, 44135.
All right. And again, you're looking at putting together something to head out toward Nebraska, I believe, aren't you?
Yeah, right. At this point, we're leaning towards Nebraska. It may end up being Oklahoma, or could end up being both. I'm not sure yet.
Well, and how do you get the materials out there?
We truck them out there.
And you have your own truck there?
We always rent a truck.
Or rent a truck, okay.
A truck.
And of course, that's where the financial gifts come in, isn't it? Because it costs money to rent the truck, costs money to run the truck, the fuel and everything. And of course, the men going out need a place to stay while they're traveling. And when they get into the area, they need food and all. It takes money to keep these things running. And so Amen. Let me encourage people to give to Nehemiah's Network and to show the love of Christ to help these people that are struggling to recover from these disasters. But Pastor Jenkins, I want to thank you for being on with us. I know we just got a couple of minutes before we come to the bottom of the hour here. And again, I just want to encourage people to pray for you and for the ministry there. And I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. It's amazing how God will give one man a vision, and when you're willing to follow the Lord and trust Him, He builds on that, and look what He's done through you. So I certainly salute you for that.
Well, thank you. Could I mention one prayer request?
Yes, sir.
I think everybody knows what's going on in Haiti.
Mm. Yes.
All the turmoil over there. There's a missionary named Paul Harrigan.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, for years.
I know him, of him.
I've been to his church and preached for him many times. They broke into his building just Friday night and set fire to the sound room. He lost all of his sound equipment and instruments.
Mm-hmm.
They burned the office buildings down, and they tried to set two fires in the auditorium, but those fires didn't end up doing anything, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But just pray for the Haitian people and pray for that congregation.
Right.
Paul, he's still here in the States. Can't go back because it's just so bad over there right now.
Right, and I'm sure his heart's for the people there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's Paul Harrington?
Paul Harrigan, yes.
Harrigan. All right,
yeah.
And encourage people to pray for him as well. Well, Pastor Jenkins, I want to thank you for being on with us and giving some time to be on the radio to let people know about Nehemiah's Network, and I know people will be praying for you and for the people that you're helping.
Amen. Well, thank you very much again, Al.
All right. Appreciate that, and we'll keep pointing people your way, and thank you so much. I always enjoy talking with you, but I have to say, I hope I don't have to talk to you because,
I certainly understand.
We would rather not have these disasters taking place, but when they do, I am glad that there's ministries like Nehemiah's Network and people such as yourself that are willing to sacrifice and allow the Lord to use them to be a blessing and a help to others. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for your confidence.
All right. Well, God bless. I want to thank you again. And remember, everybody, go to nehemiahsnetwork.com. That's nehemiahsnetwork.com. We've got a short break coming up, and we'll be getting to some other things here in a few minutes after the break. But again, like I said, I can't emphasize that enough, nehemiahsnetwork.com. And one of the things I was going to mention when Pastor Jenkins was with us, it's a trustworthy group. You know, you can be confident that what you give there is going to the ministry. They're not building a palatial mansion somewhere to live in. The money's going to help the people and to help this disaster recovery. So keep them in your prayers. Stay tuned. We've got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. In Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program, and you can also read some articles that I have there, as well as there's some word searches that my daughter and I have put together that are on there, and you can even click the link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of the program, and we'll have more information about that at the top of the hour there, and later on in the program as well. But we meet in a little commercial strip at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. I tell people, if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. Look instead for a door in a commercial strip setting, strip mall setting, and you'll find us there. Just a little small place there in Richfield, right near where Interstate 77 and 271 cross at the intersection of Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. Love to have you come out and visit us, and you'll see our service schedule there too. If you go to the church, every once in a while I mention some of the different things we do in our services. We actually, our morning service is at 11 o'clock. We actually meet at 10 to get started, but usually I mention the morning service, but at 10, we're usually doing a little Bible study or something like that, and it's very laid back, because, you know, I'm not a morning person, so everybody's getting their coffee, and usually somebody brings some donuts or something, and so kind of milling about, fellowshipping for a little while, and so we don't get started right at 10 o'clock. Endeavor to get started usually by 10:30 or so, after everybody's had a chance to fellowship for a bit and everything, and then the morning service starts at 11 o'clock. I like preaching through books of the Bible. It helps keep me straight. Currently, I'm preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings and the 11 o'clock service. And then on Sunday evenings, I am currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And we have reached Proverbs chapter 28. So we're, I'm not going to say fast approaching the end, because we're not. Today, I went through two verses where I was at. Last two Sundays, I went through one verse each. And so we're not fast approaching the end of Proverbs, but we are getting toward the end of it. And then on Friday night, we have a Bible study that I let people know about, 7 o'clock till 9. Some people have to leave before 9, and that's fine. Sometimes some people arrive a little late. That's fine, too. It's a very informal Bible study. We have refreshments, and people bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, much like with the radio program theme. And, in fact, the radio program actually came about as a result of our Friday night Bible study. And so I invite you to come out and visit us there, and bring your questions, and we'd love to meet you. And that's every Friday night from 7 till 9. Very informal, casual, and we have refreshments there as well. And so it's just an opportunity just to have some Christian fellowship on a Friday night and talk about the Bible and what's happening in the world in light of what the Scriptures have to say. And that's at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We're also brought to you tonight, in addition, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, as I said, is our main sponsor, but we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Now, I can see Kenny, you know, in the other room over there, and he answers the phones and keeps us on here, and I have a confession to make to Kenny tonight. I had East Coast Pizza on Friday night, and I didn't save you any.
You didn't save me any? You didn't bring me in three-day-old pizza that I could warm up?
Well, I might have, but there was a piece in the refrigerator today, and I ate it.
It would have been fantastic either way, but that's all right. I appreciate the afterthought.
Like I said, I just had to confess that I didn't do that.
That's okay.
I confess that I ate the pizza instead of bringing it in. But East Coast Pizza, located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And, you know, I think it's the best pizza in the area, and I've sold Kenny on it by bringing some in, even though I didn't tonight. if the mic suddenly goes dead, you'll know why, but that's Oh, I'm back, I guess.
I had to.
Yeah. Perfect timing. But any rate, I was just going to mention, too, if you're interested in maybe getting into the pizza business yourself, or maybe you have a restaurant and you need a good pizza to add to your menu of offerings, contact Gus at East Coast Pizza. And you can call Gus, East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask him how he can help you get set up with your own pizza business. It's not a franchise, but your own business. He'd be glad to help you out. Just let him know you heard about him here on Live Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right. Well, no 20-minute pizza commercial tonight, but we're going to move on. We've got some callers who've been patiently waiting for us, and if you want to get on the air tonight, if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Nancy's been waiting the longest, so we're going to go with Nancy first tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Allen. It certainly was a worthy cause. Pastor Allen Jenkins is so dutiful about helping those with disasters, so I didn't mind waiting one bit.
Yeah.
Now, my subject tonight is regarding, I have been aware of two people just in the last couple of weeks passing away. One of them, I'm positive, is going to heaven. I mean, I know you're not supposed to be that sure. And the other one, I really just don't know. But I was just became aware of Psalm 23, verse 4, which if someone is in the situation of been giving a diagnosis, you know, okay, you're in hospice, you probably will die soon. I think that Psalm 23, verse 4, of all the verses I've become familiar with, and you probably know of more, is the most comforting for a true Christian, someone that knows they have full assurance of salvation. They know they're going to heaven. I just love Psalm 23, verse 4 and 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then jumping to verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then also John 14, 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just the first couple verses, I think is very comforting. And I have heard this particular chapter read at funerals many times, and of course it applies more to those that are, you know, that the deceased was saved, was born again. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. And it goes on and on. But do you know of any other verses that are you know, comparably comforting? My favorite, though, is Psalm 23:4.
Oh, and you're right, 23:4 is.
I've been given a diagnosis. You know, okay, you don't have much. Of course, God only knows how long you're going to live, but the doctors will often give people in hospice, you know, information, you know, that they probably won't live that long. Now, do you know of any other verses that are really, really comforting besides the ones I mentioned?
Yeah, let me actually go back to Psalm 23, because you gave Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I actually often use that at funerals or at the graveside service to remind people that even though, you know, our loved one has passed on and has died, we are in the shadow of death because, you know, death has cast its shadow on us because, you know, we've lost someone. So I think there's some application there. But let me go to verse 5, which you actually skipped over, and maybe I can share something with you. It might make you think you got to keep verse 5 with that and go 4, 5, and 6 rather than just 4 and 6. Because think of this for a second. Verse 5, Psalm 23, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I was thinking of this as you were mentioning that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's talking about what Jesus is going to is doing here, and it talks about Jesus, and it says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. And then notice what he says in verse 25 here, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. This is what Jesus is going to do, all enemies put under his feet. And then he says in the next verse, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, take that back to Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me, who or where? In the presence of mine enemies, the last enemy being death. In this table that's being prepared, is, you know, they would prepare this table in where the enemies could see the you know, the king or the leader or whatever sitting at a table there, as if I'm confident, I don't have anything to fear from you. And the last enemy is death. And as somebody is facing death, they know that God is with them and preparing a table before them in the presence of their enemy, death.
Oh, excellent.
And there's tremendous confidence from that. And so that's obviously one right there, I think. And another one that came to my mind, let's see here. I had it a minute ago, but then I was thinking about that with death. And that is 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5, where Paul writes this in regards to believers. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And then he says in verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so when we're absent from the body, as a believer, we have the statement here that absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And so the death is essentially the doorway that allows us to go from this present world into that spiritual realm where we're present with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's a comforting thought, too, to know that absent from the body, God's not going to lose us in the shuffle somewhere. You know, there's there's too many people who are fearful. When I die, do I know that I'm going to be with the Lord, or am I going to be somewhere else, or am I going to be someplace temporarily until people make enough prayers and offerings on my behalf, or just what's going to happen to me? Well, I can have the confidence by believing the Bible when the Spirit of God inspired Paul to say absent from the body for the believer means to be not stuck in a holding pattern somewhere, but to be present with the Lord. Now, the body, of course, is in the grave, in the ground, or wherever. The soul and the spirit's what he's talking about. The soul and spirit absent from the body. And that's what happens at death. The soul and spirit depart the body. And it doesn't just wander around. I mean, you're not going to haunt someplace for the next 100 years. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. You're going to be present with the Lord if you know Christ as your Savior. And to me, I take tremendous comfort that knowing that the moment that that connection between my soul and spirit with my body is severed, I am instantly going to be in the presence of the Lord.
That is very comforting.
Yeah.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
So, you know, those are a couple of things that you might look at. And
okay, well, perfect. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm still sort of like in awe of the fact that you told me that once when we die, we're not necessarily in heaven forever, but we are with the Lord. And I think probably 90% of the whole population probably is under the assumption that a saved person will be in heaven. But when you said the Bible does not say that clearly, they only promise that you'll be with the Lord. And I'm still in awe of that revelation.
Well, and it comes from Revelations, Revelation 21, to be specific. Because remember, you read it there in John 14, where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Revelation chapter 21, he talks about the new Jerusalem, and he says this in chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, and I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem. And then here's this is the phrase, and this is, if people are wondering where we're getting this from, it says, coming down from God out of heaven, mm-hmm. prepared mm-hmm. as a bride adorned for her husband. And then mm-hmm. a little further down in the same chapter, verse number 10, when John is going to be shown the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ, that's the believers of the age dispensation of grace, what we're in right now. He's carried away in the spirit. Verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. That's the same as the new mm-hmm. Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And so here it is again, coming out of heaven, and it goes on to describe it coming to the earth. Mm-hmm. And I personally believe it'll be parked in an orbit over the earth. I favor a geosynchronous orbit, probably parked over the area that will correspond to the Jewish nation on the new heaven. You say, well, where's all this stuff coming from? Well, in mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 21, read it. It says in verse number, 23, in the city, that's this new Jerusalem, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, this doesn't say there won't be a moon or a sun. It just says the new Jerusalem doesn't need this because it's going to be filled with the light of God all the time. And then it says this in verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So there are nations, mm-hmm. there are kings, there are people on the new earth. And that's because, basically, to put it in a short fashion, it's because the new heavens and the new earth, the new heaven and new earth, John says heaven, Peter says heavens, in 2 Peter where he talks about mm-hmm. the same thing, the new heavens. And what Peter's talking about is the earth and the atmosphere and space, and what John's talking about is the spiritual realm and the material realm. And Peter's also talking about the spiritual realm as well. So we've got the first heavens, the atmosphere, second heavens, is space, and the third heavens, the spiritual realm. So that's the heavens, mm-hmm. plural. But when John says new heaven and new earth, he's talking about a new spiritual realm, that's heaven, and a new physical realm, that's the earth and everything mm-hmm. in the physical realm that we see. So that would be that would encompass the first and second heavens, the atmosphere and space. And it's all going to be new. And so our dwelling place is not in the new spiritual realm, but it's in the new physical realm. And the Old mm-hmm. Testament saints, the pre-flood saints, the millennial saints, the tribulation saints, they will be the ones that make up the nations of the earth. And we, from this dispensation of grace that we live in, people call it the church age, we know what we mean, we are the ones who live in the new Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem mm-hmm. apparently appears to be the gateway between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. If you think about it, the temple of God is in there, and he is there, present in there, and that, I think, would be corresponding to the throne room of God that you see in Revelation chapter 4. And so that'll be, you know, like the gateway between the spiritual and the physical realms. And there's precedence for this in the Bible, because the Bible talks about the windows of heaven being open, angels ascending and descending from the spiritual realm to the physical realm through them. Jesus himself ascended up from the Mount of Olives after his resurrection. Then he ascended up 40 days later, and he went into heaven. He didn't dwindle until you couldn't see him anymore. He went up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and he's coming back the same way in the clouds. And so in the atmosphere above the earth is where these windows of heaven appear to open up. And so it'd be the passage into the spiritual realm. And I think it's exciting that we, in what we call the church age or the age of grace, we will make up the people who dwell in that new Jerusalem, kind of like the gatekeepers. And we can't even begin to comprehend. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man things that God prepared for those that love him. And we think about it. It's just it's spectacular. So,
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for explaining it to me. Well, and I know that Terry is waiting.
Yes, he is. And we're going to have to get him in the next half hour because we're coming up on a break here very quickly.
Let
me tie this back, Nancy, to what you asked in the first place about words of comfort. That's mm-hmm. tremendously comforting, too, to someone as a believer who's going to die, knowing mm-hmm. what we have in store for us. This idea that God has given us a description. It's a little glimpse. Mm-hmm. It's not much, but it's mm-hmm. there. If people go to my website at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, they can scroll down on the page, and I've actually got an article that's linked to there that I wrote about this New Jerusalem. And I've actually done some Friday night radio programs talking about it. You can find there as well. But that article on the New Jerusalem is there, and I think it's on the you scroll down. It's on the right hand side of the page. New Jerusalem, future home of the believers, and they can read that. About the size and the description
I'll
of it as well.
I'll be definitely going there.
All right. Well, Nancy, thanks you much.
Okay,
thank you much.
You.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
And God bless. Have a good evening. And don't go away, everybody. We are going to take a break here momentarily. And we've got Terry lined up. We'll be getting to him after the break. And we've got a lot to talk about coming up and some things that are happening in our nation, some things happening around the world. I saw something just as I was getting ready for the program tonight. And this evening is actually considered the night after Passover, after the Jews left Egypt, that they crossed through the Red Sea. And I had never thought about that before, but I was reading something as I was getting ready for the program, and they said that they believe that tonight, if you follow their exodus from Egypt, that when they came to the banks of the Red Sea and the people were afraid and murmured against Moses because they thought that they were trapped and the Pharaoh's army was going to capture them and kill them. And then, I'm sure you've seen the Charlton Heston movie, the Ten Commandments they play every year at Easter time. And so tonight's the night they commemorate that. Well, stay with us. We got another hour to go. According to the Barna Group, a SageCon is a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative. Spiritually active means biblically engaged, governance-engaged means politically involved. Unfortunately, conservatives who are biblically engaged are not always politically involved, and vice versa. This presents a problem because, as John Adams wrote in 1798, our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. To be biblically engaged but not politically involved means abdicating our responsibility to bring our biblical values to bear in restraining our government. To be politically involved but not biblically engaged is to enter the battle for our nation's soul unarmed. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al at 1220 The Word. We have a country to save. Wake up and vote your biblical values.